Hi, everyone. I'm Jacob.
I'm Evie.
We're the Youth Elvins, and we've been at Watermark for about 3 years now. And we're excited to share with you on 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 through 25 today.
Before we get started, we do need to say happy birthday to our son, Roman, who turns 4 today. Happy birthday, buddy. We love you so much.
All right, let's get into it. Here's the passage we're going to read straight through in case nobody's read it before. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor," they said.
So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground.
Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams, so I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me, now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to the one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines."
Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left.
Okay, lots to unpack here. Evie, what are your initial thoughts?
From the past few chapters, we see Saul continually turning away from God. So he's so desperate, he calls upon a medium. The laws of Moses that we find in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy condemns all forms of spiritualism. So this action of using a medium by Saul is a huge violation of the laws at the time, and by the king nonetheless. So Saul reaches out to dead Samuel, and the medium, in fact, is able to communicate with him. It's evident in the text that she's surprised that Samuel responds and is visible to her. This happens not because she's some amazing medium, but because God willed it and allowed it. Samuel needed to deliver a message to Saul, and that was going to happen regardless. Saul asked one simple question to Samuel: "What do I do?" The Philistines were ready to attack, and God was not on their side. I think Saul expected a solution, a light at the end of the tunnel, but that is not the message Samuel delivers. Instead, he is informed of his and his son's death. I mean, you can't help but feel a little sorry for Saul. He's desperate, reaches out to a knowledgeable mentor, then gets told of his death. That's rough. His continual turning away from God has ended in the ultimate demise, a death in battle. We've all been in desperation of something before, but the route we take to pursue those things matters. Have you ever felt like you weren't getting the answers you needed from God? Would you justify getting those answers in an incorrect way? We're reminded by Saul's bad example that we should trust in God and believe in his timing rather than seeking those quick fixes.
Yeah, so true. But that's not always easy to do, especially because quick fixes seem to be all the rage nowadays. So for me, this passage was extremely relatable, especially at this point in our lives. Throughout the entire story of 1 Samuel, the overarching theme from my perspective is control and disobedience. However, it didn't seem to start out this way. When Samuel anointed Saul as king, it seemed easy for Saul to obey and put his trust in God. After all, Saul continually defeated enemy armies because he had Samuel and his prophetic mentor and his heavenly father paving the way and showing him what to do. But it seemed like there was a gradual process of disobedience in Saul that I would say stemmed from pride, impatience, and a lack of trust in God. Kind of like what you said. So we start to see Saul take matters into his own hands. For example, the first time we saw this, he offered a sacrifice before going into battle back in 1 Samuel 13, which was supposed to be performed by priests. Then in 1 Samuel 15, God commanded Saul through Samuel to utterly destroy the Amalekites, including all people and animals, as a judgment for their sin against Israel. But we read that Saul spared the life of their king and kept the best livestock, and only destroyed what he deemed to be worthless. Saul, for whatever reason, maybe it was just because of his human nature, decided to disobey God and take more and more matters into his own hands. In other words, it's almost like he thought he knew better than God, or that God's timing and path forward wasn't sufficient for Saul. And because of that, we see in our passage today that God had completely abandoned Saul. And just like you mentioned, when Saul found himself in a familiar situation, facing off yet again with the Philistines, God wasn't by his side this time to provide a path forward. So he gets desperate and completely goes against his own commandments just to remedy the situation by going to a medium.
Yeah. Doesn't this remind you of parenting sometimes, Jacob? I mean, we've got two beautiful kids. Roman, who we mentioned earlier, is 4, and Eden is 1. Some of our favorite things to do as parents is to teach, educate, and coach our kids. Now, if you know Jacob and I, we both coach high school sports. Jacob is a high school basketball coach. I'm a high school softball coach. So empowering youth is what we do in our free time. It comes natural to us as parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And I especially love teaching Roman, especially at this age. He's really good at communicating. He seems to soak everything up, and he's extremely hungry to learn.
Yeah, I love that part too, but we both know that's not always the case with him. When he was little, like Eden's age, our 1-year-old, he fully relied on us as parents. They need us to survive at that age. But now that Roman is starting to figure some things out, he doesn't always trust what we're saying is correct. He thinks he knows better a lot of the time.
Oh, that's becoming more and more true. And man, I've been so lazy as a parent sometimes, especially when I'm tired. I have a funny example that I'd love to share. One time, you know, for example, if I'm trying to explain something to him or teach him not to do something, my go-to lately when trying to get him to do something is, Roman, just trust me. Please just trust me. I don't take the time to explain anything further, and because he thinks he knows better, my little 4-year-old has also started to say, no, Dad, you need to trust me. Sometimes that irritates me and makes me go a little bit further. Roman, I'm your dad. I know better than you. You're only four. But that information doesn't seem to be good enough. And I found myself doing this one day. So you know the struggle that Roman has with coats and long sleeves.
Hates them.
Absolutely. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's a fad, a phase. Maybe one day he'll grow out of that. So Roman's in this stage where he hates putting coats on or long sleeves when it's cold outside. And one morning recently, we were getting ready, and I told him he had to put a coat on or at least a sweatshirt because it was really cold outside, a little colder than usual. But of course, he got upset and told me he didn't want to. And at this point in the morning, I was already late for work, so I resorted to my put a jacket on, it's colder than usual this morning, just trust me. And sure enough, no, I'll be fine, you just trust me. So I let him have his way, and we went out to the car, and I was putting Eden into her car seat. He started going crazy. He was crying that he was cold. And as all good fathers would, I rubbed it in his face that I was right. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I gave him his jacket so he could put it on to go to school. So the moral of the story, Roman's struggle with the coat is a lot like Saul's pride. Just as Roman thought he knew better than me and had to learn the hard way, Saul's disobedience and pride led him to a place of separation from God, showing us the importance of trusting God's wisdom and timing instead of taking matters into our own hands.
Yeah, I like that example a lot. And thankfully, this is where we start to separate in terms of relatability to Saul. Saul didn't have a chance to rectify his situation. He never repented or found favor in God's eyes. But thankfully, Roman won't see that type of wrath from you as a dad or from me as a mom. God sent Jesus to defeat sin. All of us have a chance to accept him in our hearts, repent, and find salvation with Christ.
Yeah, exactly. And that's powerful and good, thankfully. So as we wrap up, let's remember that Saul's downfall came from his inability to trust God and his prideful choices. To avoid making the same mistake, we need to stay humble, seek God's wisdom in every situation, and trust his timing. When we do, we can walk in obedience and find peace knowing that he's in control, even when things feel uncertain.
We hope you take some time to reflect on this passage and what it means to you. Feel free to share with us. We'd love to chat. Should we pray it out, Jacob?
Yeah, I'll take that. Lord, thank you for the lessons we can learn from Saul's story and for your grace in offering us the opportunity to repent and find salvation. Help us to trust your wisdom in every situation. Stay humble and lean on your timing. May we walk in obedience and find peace, knowing that you are always in control. Amen.
Amen.